Vayim 25, 10, 17, 29. My daughter, how much allegory exists between the conception I did in the maternal womb and what I do in each consecrated host? See, from heaven I descended to conceive myself in the womb of my celestial mother. From heaven I, God, descended to be consecrated, hidden within the veils of the species of the bread. In the dark, immobile, I remained in the paternal womb of Mary. In the dark, immobile, I made even smaller, I remained in each host. Look at me. I, God, I am here, hidden in this tabernacle. I, God, pray. I, God, cry. I, God, make not even my breath heard within the sacramental veils. My very divine will keeps me as though dead, annihilated, restricted, compressed, while I am alive. I am, and I give life to all. O abyss of my love, how immeasurable you are. In the maternal womb, I was loaded down with the weight of all souls and of all sins. Here in each host, small as it is, I feel the enormous weight of the burden of the sins of each soul. And while I feel crushed under the enormity of so many sins, I, God, do not tire, because true love never tires, and true love wants to win with greatest sacrifices. It wants to expose its life for the beloved. This is why I continue my life from the moment I conceived up to my death in each sacramental host. And now I, God, want to tell you of the pleasure that I, God, feel in having you near my tabernacle. Under the sacramental gazes, the allegory that exists between me and you, I, God, see I am here, hidden under the empire of my divine will. Ah, it is my divine will itself, its power, that contains the prodigy of hiding me in each host with the consecration. You are in your bed, only by empire of my fiat. And it is not corporal madness that keeps you hampered, no, but it is my divine will alone that wants it so, making a veil for you. It hides me and forms for me a living host, a living tabernacle. So again, this is 1928. She's in the orphanage of St. Anthony. Her bedroom is now the sanctuary of the chapel. The tabernacle is where her headboard was. And she stared out of her room into down the aisle to the tabernacle. And Jesus says, you are in bed because of the divine fiat. And you, Louisa, are being formed as a living host. You, Louisa, are a living tabernacle. So here, we have to understand, Mary was a living tabernacle. Okay, now the newborn becomes a living tabernacle. Mary was one with Jesus. Okay, when you go to Holy Communion, you receive the body of her body. You receive the blood of her blood. You receive the bone of her bone. It is that's where Jesus got his body. When you receive Holy Eucharist, you also receive that which is of Mary. And how glorious is that? So when you receive Holy Communion and the host goes to the Holy of Holies in your soul, you bring Mary there with you. You bring your Holy Guardian Angel there with you. And you kneel in an adoration of Jesus in the Holy of Holies of your tabernacle. See what God did with the Blessed Mother, he now wants to do with Louisa and all of us. You know, God wants to be held. That's why when the Pope holds the baby Jesus at Christmas and kisses the baby Jesus, that's for us to do the same thing. If we don't have a baby Jesus, get one. You know, for Christmas. Hold the baby Jesus. You know, Jesus, Our Lady held the body of Jesus after he was crucified. Even after death, he wanted to be held by his mother. It's the same thing for us. He wants us to hold him. He wants to, as he fed from his mother, he wants to feed from us. Our God is a very humble God. And he wants to be held. He wants to be... when he kisses Louisa, he's kissing his little newborn. When Louisa kisses Jesus, she's kissing her father, the father of the age to come. And it's the same thing. When you kiss the cross, Jesus has said to the mystics, I will accept it as you kissing me. When you kiss the cross, he accepts that. You know, it's, don't limit God. You know, He takes us at His word, our word. He wants us to let Him be the Lord of our life. You know, so He wants to make us a living host. He wants to make us a living tabernacle. So He says, here, in this tabernacle, I pray continuously, and do you know what my first prayer is? That my divine will be known. That the divine will's rules that keeps me hidden may rule over every creature, all creatures, and may reign and dominate them. So the prayer is to make the divine will known, that the divine will reign and dominate all mankind. That's what Jesus tells us to pray for. What are you praying for? If you're praying that the divine will be known, the divine will reign and dominate, you're praying Jesus' prayer. In fact, only when my divine will is known and forms in them its kingdom, then shall my sacramental life have its complete fruit, the fulfillment of the so many sacrifices, the restoration of my life and creatures, and I am here, hidden, making many sacrifices to wait for the triumph, for the kingdom of my divine will. Therefore, you too pray, and as you echo my prayer, I hear your continuous speaking by putting all of my acts and all created things in motion, and you ask me, in the name of everyone and everything, that my divine will be known and formed in them its kingdom. So again, this is a command from Jesus. You too pray as you echo my prayer. See, it's not my prayer that I'm praying. It's not your prayer that you're praying. It's always of Jesus. And I hear your continuous speaking by putting all of my acts and all created things in motion, and you ask me in the name of everyone and everything that my holy divine will be known, and the holy divine will form its kingdom. Your echo and mine are one, and we are all the same thing, and everything may return into the eternal fiat, that its just rights be given back to it. See then how much allegory there is between you and me, but the most beautiful one is that what I, God, want, that you want, that we both sacrifice for a cause so holy. Therefore, your company is sweet to me in the midst of so many pains that I, God, suffer, and it renders me happy. So it's the same thing for us. We want the divine will to reign. What we're going through, the sufferings, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering, financial sufferings that we go through, is sweet company for Jesus. Because we're saying to Jesus, you're the one that suffered. And I'm sharing with you my sufferings. My sufferings are going into your Sacred Heart. My physical sufferings are going on my body. But you take all the sufferings into your Sacred Heart in the name of everyone and everything, so that your kingdom can be established. This is what Jesus is doing. Volume 30, 11, 16, 31. Now, my divine will sows a distinct seed in each act of the creature. In some it sows the seed of sanctity, in some the seed of love, in others the seed of goodness, and so forth. The more acts the soul does in the divine will, the more soil she prepares, in which my divine will prepares its distinct seed to fill the earth with these human acts. So one who lets herself be dominated by my divine will is beautiful. One who lets herself be dominated by divine will is striking. Each of her acts contain the variety of the divine seeds, is a note of her Creator. One can say sanctity, another mercy, another justice, another wisdom, another love. In some, a divine harmony appears with such order that it shows the figure of God operating in her. So again, it's what God does. See, to be in God's image and likeness is to do what God does. This is why this great gift of the divine will is so amazing. What God wants from us is going to astonish the saints. What God wants from us is He wants us to enter into the S-U-N of the divine will, to enter into that fiery heat of love, to participate in God. You know, the saints only followed a virtue or two of Jesus or Mary. They had a virtue or two which caused them to be great saints. But Jesus wants more for us now. He wants us to enter into the divine will, to begin to live His life. This is why living host is so important to Jesus. because he sees himself. And when he sees himself, he's in ecstasy. This is why he can receive us as his food, because he's receiving himself. Again, we live in our nothingness, and God loves nothing, because he possesses everything. So with this nothing, he then can reign in us to his the greatest desire, because there's nothing in the way. And God always works miracles with nothing. So we don't want to be, you know, anything. All we want is that the divine will reign in us. All we want is the kingdom be established in us. All we want is to be so linked to Louisa that everything God gave to Louisa, he will give to us. I mean, that's what God is looking for. He's looking for souls that want the divine will more than anything. Do you see then the necessity of the act of the creature in order for us to be able to find the soil in which to enclose our divine seed? Otherwise, where to sow it? As for us, Triune God, we have no soil. Therefore, the soul must form it for us with her acts, so that with our divine seeds we may germinate our divine being in the soul. Therefore, Louisa, the one who does and lives in our divine will, can be called the she who reproduces her creator and hosts within herself he who created her. Okay, so it's to be like Mary. Okay, to be like Jesus, to be like Mary. Mary reproduced her creator. She is the mother of God, Theotokos. I know some people don't want to call Mary the mother of God. She's the mother of Jesus, but not the mother of God, which I don't understand that. But Jesus wants us to be like his mother. He wants not only to be held like Mary held him, not only to be kissed as Our Lady kissed him, but to reproduce him and to become, it says very clearly, Jesus becomes the host within herself, he who created her. So this is, again, why did God breathe into dirt? Why did he create Adam? Because there was no other gods out there. And he, so filled with love, he wanted to share this love with creatures. So he created Adam, filling Adam with his image and likeness, so Adam could give back to God what is God's. God breathed that I love you, and Adam breathes that I love you of God back to God. And when God sees this, he's in ecstasy. Why? Because God is so beautiful, so holy. So with the same thing with us, as we begin to live this life of the divine will, we, as it says here, we reproduce God and hosts within herself God who created us. See, God is so filled with love that he wants to share his divinity. And that's what we pray every day at Holy Mass. The priest puts a drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. God is so in love with us that he wants us to begin to live this life. Well, we'll end there and come back for the others in a minute. So there, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And just before 3 o'clock, we'll do the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Bottom of page 12, volume 31, 118-33. Therefore, many souls are seen who receive me sacramentally, and they are not like me. They are sterile of virtues, sterile of love, sterile of sacrifice. Poor little ones, they eat of me, but since they do not keep me company, they remain hungry. Okay, so we are receiving Jesus to become like Jesus. This is the reason why we go to Holy Communion. We want to become like him. And he says, they receive him sacramentally, but they're not like him. And again, that's not what should happen. You receive Jesus, the Blessed Sacrament. See, what happens is people have forgotten to spend time with Jesus, to be in communion with Jesus. As soon as they receive Jesus, they go into fellowship and they're laughing and talking. They're walking out, getting their car, driving away. The communion with God is gone. And God just leaves. He just says, I just leave. So our job is to remain in prayer, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, as everybody else is in fellowship. Our job is to be like Jesus. to let him reign in us. Okay? And this is what he says. And how many straits of sorrow, of cruel martyrdom, my sacrament of life is placed. Many times I feel my love drowned. I would like to free myself, and I yearn to descend into hearts, but alas, I am constrained to leaving more suffocated than before. How can I pour out if they have not paid attention to the flames that burn me? Okay, so that's, we have to pay attention to this. On other times, the flood of sorrow inundates me, and I yearn for a heart to have a relief for my pains. But what? They would want to take I take part of them, but not they of me. And I do it, hiding in my sorrows, my tears, in order to console them. I remain without the longed-for relief of being united with them. But who can tell you the so many sorrows of my sacrament of life, and how there are more of those who receive me and place me in loneliness in their hearts, but bitter loneliness, than those who keep me company? And when I find a heart that keeps me company, I place my life in communication with her, leaving her the deposits of my virtues, fruits of my sacrifices, and the participation of my life. And I chose her for my residence, for my hiding place of all my pains. And as a place of my refuge, I feel as though reciprocated for the sacrifice of my Eucharistic life, because I find one who breaks my loneliness for me, one who dries my tears, one who gives me freedom of letting me pour out my love and my sorrows. It is they, those linked to Louisa, who serve me as my living species, not like the sacramental species that gives me nothing, that only hides me, and the rest I do by myself all alone. They do not tell me a word that breaks my loneliness. They are mute species. Okay, so Jesus wants us to talk to him, to be with him, to fall in love with him. And he says, I long for this. You know, here is our God is humbling himself again to become our food. And even those that receive him don't fall in love with him. See, our job is to fall in love with Jesus. Our job is to get to know him in a way that's not knowing about him, but to know him intimately, as Adam knew Eve intimately. We are called to know God intimately, not just know about him, to fall in love with God, to hold him and to kiss him. And again, like I said, if you have a baby Jesus for Christmas, hold him and kiss him. If you have a crucifix, kiss the feet of Jesus, kiss the hands of Jesus, kiss the head of Jesus, kiss his sacred heart. You know, Jesus says, I will accept it as you actually are kissing me. See, we have to, God can't be 1,000,000,000 miles away anymore. We've got to be very close to him. On the other hand, in souls linked to Louisa, who use me as a living species, our life develops together. We beat with one single heartbeat. And if I see her disposed, I communicate to her my pains, and I continue my passion in her. I can say that from the sacramental species, I pass into the living species, in order to continue my life on earth, not alone, but together with Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. So again, he wants us to become living hosts, living species. This is, the saints only could dream of this. Then he says, you must know, and it's underlined and highlighted because this is a command from Jesus. You must know that pains are no longer in my power, and I go asking for love from these living species, the living hosts of souls, to make up for what is lacking to me. Therefore, my daughter, when I, God, find a heart who loves me and keeps me company, giving me the freedom to do what I, God, want, I arrive at ecstasies. I do not care about anything else. I give everything, so that the poor creature feels drowned by my love and by my graces. And then my sacramental life does not remain sterile anymore. It descends into hearts. No, it reproduces me by locating and continuing my life in her. And these are my conquerors who administer their life to this poor, indignant man of suffering. And say to me, my love, you had your turn at suffering, and it is ended. Now it is my turn. Therefore, let me make up for you and suffer in your place. Now, that's reason that's in large letters, is this is what the divine will is. This is to have Jesus be reproduced in us, Jesus bilocated in us, Jesus is the man of suffering, and this is our prayer. My love, Jesus, you had your turn at sufferings, and it is ended. Now it is my turn. Therefore, let me make up for you and suffer in your place. So we want, basically, Jesus down from the cross. This is how much we love Jesus. We want him down for the cross, and we want to take his place. Now, when this happens, there is no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. This is the martyrdom of martyrdoms. And this is what Jesus is looking for. Who is longing to reproduce me? Who is longing that I bilocate and continue my life in them? See, what the great gift of the divine will is, it will astonish you. When, like, our name in the kingdom, in heaven, Jesus gives us a new name, and it is my fiat. And he will point out to the saints. He'll point out to the saints and point out to the angels. Look over there. He says, there is my fiat. And hopefully that's us. He points over another part of heaven. Look over there. There's my fiat. See, what God is looking for is that we allow him to reign in us. We allow him, as he says, to be reproduced in us. We allow him to bilocate in us. It's a new beginning that the saints only could dream of. So, my love, Jesus, you had your turn at suffering, and it is ended. Now it is my turn. Therefore, let me make up for you and suffer in your place. So each and every one of us suffers, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, greater or lesser than the person next to us. All of us suffer. What do we do with that suffering? The suffering is our life. Okay? We say to Jesus, now it's my turn. The suffering that I'm going through, whether you stub your toe or, get a sliver, those little sufferings that we go through are nothing. And you say, Jesus, I'm suffering in your place. He's not going to nail us to a cross because none of us are worthy of that. He's going to give us little sufferings, physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional sufferings. And he's going to say, what are you going to do with these? Our response is, let me make up for you and suffer in your place. Again, how happy our God is that he finally finds a soul that will allow him to reign. And this is what a living host is all about. Again, he says, oh, how content I am. My sacramental life remains at its place of honor because it reproduces other lives of itself and creatures. Therefore, I, God, want you always together with me so that we live together and you take to heart my life and I take to heart your life. So it's a mutual exchange. Volume 33, 311, 34. Now you must know, again, this is a command from Jesus. You must know this. That the soul in grace is a temple of God. However, when the soul lives in our divine will, listen to this, God makes himself a temple of the soul. And oh, the great difference between the creature, temple of God, and God, temple of the soul. You see what God is doing? The first is a temple exposed to dangers, to enemies, and to subject to passions. Many times our supreme love finds itself in these temples as in temples of stone, not cared about, not loved as is befitting it. And the little lamp of his continuous love that he must have as homage for his God who resides in him without pure oil is extinguished. And if it were ever to fall into grave sin, our temple collapses and becomes occupied by thieves and our enemy, our and his enemies who profane and ruin that temple. The second temple, that is of God, temple of the soul, this is the children living in the divine will, is not exposed to dangers. The enemy cannot get near. The passions lose life. The soul in the divine temple of ours is like a little host that has her Jesus consecrated in it, such that with perennial love that she draws, receives, and is fed, she forms the living the little living lamp that always burns without ever going out. This temple of ours occupies its royal place. Its volition is complete, and she is our glory. She is our triumph. And what does the little host do in this temple of ours? She prays, she loves, she lives of divine will. She substitutes for my humanity on earth. She takes my place in of suffering. She calls the whole army of our works to make a cortege for us. She holds creation and redemption as hers and acts as a commander over them. And now she places them as an army around us, Triune God, in the act of prayer and of adoration. Now as an army in the act of loving us, Triune God, and glorifying us, Triune God. But she is always at the head to make our works do what she wants. And she always ends with her little refrain so pleasing to us, your volition be known, your volition be loved, your volition reign and dominate in the whole world. So God gives us a second prayer to pray. This has to be our prayer. May your holy divine will be known, may it be loved, and may it reign and dominate in the whole world. See, this is, we're the ones that are calling the kingdom to be established on earth. This is our job. And the more that we are surrendered to God, the more God can reign in us. And the more the world is going to be changed. It's going to happen. In fact, all the anxieties, the signs, the interests, the solicitudes, the prayers of this little host who lives in our divine temple are that our fiat embrace everyone, set aside all the evils of creatures, and with its omnipotent breath makes a place in the hearts of everyone in order to make itself life of every creature. Can one ever give an office more beautiful, more holy, more important, more useful to heaven and to earth than this little host who lives in our temple? Now that's Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. See, this chapter here, this little chapter here, is of great importance for us. This is what God wants for us. And we have to know it. So reread it. You know, sit down with Jesus and reread it again and again and again until it becomes part of you. This is what's necessary. Volume 36, 8, 21, 38. But what does the host give to me? Nothing. This is the host in the tabernacle. Not one I love you. Not one breath. Not one heartbeat. Not a single step to accompany God. I am lonely, and many times this lonely oppresses me and embitters me, and I burst into tears. How heavy it is for me not to have one to whom I can say a word. I am in the nightmare of deep silence. What can the host give to me? The hiding place at which to hide myself. The tiny little prison to make me, I would almost say, to make me unhappy. But since it is my divine will that wants me to return in each sacramental host, and my divine will never brings unhappiness either to us or to the creatures who live in the divine will, it makes flow in my sacramental life our celestial joys, which are inseparable from us. This, from our side, but the host never gives me anything. It doesn't defend me. It doesn't love me. Now, if I form many lives in the host that give me nothing, how much more would I, God, form them in those who live in my divine will? So as we begin to live in the divine will, God begins to form us as living hosts. He begins to, as he says, you become my skin, you become my clothing, so that I can reign. So when you are washing the dishes, say to Jesus, Jesus, you wash in my washing. Jesus, I adore you. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. Reign in me. You know, let me become a living host. See, this living host is again the Eucharistic reign of Jesus. It's going to transform the face of the earth. We are going to begin to live a life that has never been seen since Adam left earth. It's never been seen since Jesus and Mary left earth. It's never been seen since Louisa left earth. And now he wants to do this. He wants to reign in us. Good and Reverend Mother, now let's come to us, my good Mother. I delayed writing you in order to let my Holy Christmas draw near and then send you my poor wishes. But what can I, poor little ignorant one, wish you? So I ask, dear baby Jesus, that he himself bring you my sincere wishes. During these days, you will prepare your heart in order to form it as a host in which the divine infant will come to be reborn in you. And I will bring you as a wish, a gift, a heartbeat, the word and the word of the fiat, his baby tears, his tender moans and wails in order to be consoled and to receive your tender love in return. My mother, welcome him soon, soothe his crying, warm him, be attentive so that he may always remain with you. This is what the celestial baby wants. He comes to remain with you, and I am sure that you will not send him back, and he will make of you his royal palace, his little paradise. This is the wish I am sending you. I believe you will be content. So now this is something that we can do for Christmas to help people understand. We can say to the people for Christmas, I ask, dear baby Jesus, that he himself bring you my sincere wishes, that you will prepare your heart in order to form it as a host, in order to receive the divine infant to come to be reborn in you. I mean, that in itself, if people read it, I mean, when you send this to somebody for Christmas, they will begin to understand this is a life that the saints didn't talk about. To have Jesus reborn in me, to have Jesus, that we become a living host. See, what God is going to do through you is get everybody ready. Get your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your parishioners ready for what God is going to bring upon the earth. What is he going to bring upon the earth? His kingdom. He needs you to get the souls ready around you. So here's a little something that you can do as Louisa did for Christmas. I ask the baby Jesus that he himself bring you my sincerest wishes, that you prepare your hearts in order to form them as a host in which the divine infant will come to be reborn in you. They're going to go, what the heck are you talking about? But it's preparing them because those words will touch their hearts. Those words will get them ready. And it'll be in their spirit, because this is truth. It'll be in their spirit, and they will long to, that will be there for a long time. And it will help them get ready for the kingdom. My good mother, thank you for everything. I don't know how to repay you, but I believe that Jesus will do it for me. I am sorry for your illness, since sight is so necessary, but the divine fiat is that which must embrace us and close us within self. It is such a way as to consume us completely in the divine will. So God wants to consume us completely in the divine will. So you see this, he wants to feed on us. In fact, you must know that when we really decide always to do the divine will, his love is so great that he covers all our past miseries, defects, and passions as if we were newly reborn, and therefore, as though having made us new again, he wants to see nothing but his divine will in us. So God is not only going to forgive and forget our sins, he's going to make us newborn. This is what God promises. And all that he looks for are the souls that want what he wants. And that's why you say to Jesus, let it be done as you say. Now I am sending you my Christmas wishes in advance, and I trust you to baby Jesus during these days. Make of your heart a little host, and dear little Jesus will bring you as his wish, his love, his baby tears, his wails, his whole life. And he will infuse in you his tender, compassionate love for his pains as a baby. This is my wish. This is my prayer. And I also pray for your whole community, especially those who remember me, the rebirth of baby Jesus within their hearts. So you can say this to people. You know, may the baby Jesus be reborn in you. And again, it's going to, you know, set them slightly off, because they're not going to understand what you're saying. But this is what God wants them to know. May baby Jesus be born in you for Christmas. My good daughter, in the divine volition, courage and trust, the divine will has found its work in your soul. And when you suffer more, it seems that Jesus wants to hasten his work to receive the contentment, to see you as he wants and likes, to be able to say, my daughter is like me in the sufferings as much as as in wanting what I myself wanted, only the will of the celestial Father. How happy I am. It is true that you suffer, but I run to sustain you in my arms, that you may feel my strength and the powerful breath of my divine will, in search for the new life that I want in you, and converts all of your pains into precious gems of love. And when I feel embittered, I run and I come to you to be sweetened in your pains, which carry the seal of my divine will, and to sweeten the bitternesses that, unfortunately, the other creatures give me. Therefore, I, God, recommend to you, Louisa, my daughter, and to the children linked to Louisa, be patient, be my host, be a living host. Let me come to be consecrated in you. But I do not want you as a dead host, but alive and speaking. And may your sufferings be the lamp always lit, which never extinguishes, and which loves me incessantly. So that's what God is asking of us to do. Now we'll kneel and pray the consecration to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O adorable and divine will, here I am before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors and make me enter into it to form my life all in you, divine will. Therefore, prostrate before your light, I, the littlest among all creatures, come, O adorable will, into the little group of the first children of your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I beseech and implore your endless light, that it may want to invest me and eclipse everything that does not belong to you, in such a way that I may do nothing other than look, comprehend, and live in you, divine will. It will be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapture of my heart and of my whole being. In this heart, the human will no longer have life. I will banish it forever and will form the new Eden of peace, of happiness, and of love, where that I shall always be happy. I shall have a unique strength and a sanctity that sanctifies everything and brings everything to God. Here prostrate, I invoke the help of the sacrosanct Trinity, that they admit me to live in the cloister of the divine will, so as to restore in me the original order of creation, just as the creature was created. Celestial Mother, Sovereign Queen of the divine fiat, take me by the hand and enclose me in the light of the divine will. You will be my guide, my tender mother. You will guard your child, will teach me to live and to maintain myself in the order and the bounds of the divine will. Celestial Sovereign, to your heart I entrust my whole being. I will be the tiny little child of the divine will. You will teach me the divine will, and I'll be attentive and listening to you. You will lay your blue mantle over me, so that the infernal serpent may not dare to penetrate into the sacred Eden, to entice me and make me fall into the maze of the human will. Heart of my highest good, Jesus, you will give me your flames that they may burn me, consume me, and nourish me, to form in me the life of the supreme will. Saint Joseph, you will be my protector, the custodian of my heart, and will keep the keys of my will in your hands. You will keep my heart jealously and will never give it to me again, that I may be sure never to go out of the will of God. Guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything, so that my Eden may grow flourishing and be the call of the whole world into the will of God. Celestial court, come to my help, and I promise you to live always in the divine will. Amen. And may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And for those that want to get anointed with oil from heaven, come on up.